How do you leverage emotional intelligence to create the life, relationship, and business of your dreams? I've spent over a decade studying, speaking, and coaching on emotional intelligence, and in this podcast, I share the exact principles and strategies my clients have used to earn seven-figure incomes, heal their relationships, get engaged after years of failed relationships, and step into their authentic power to become the leaders they came here to be. Let's do this.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of That's What He Said. And today we want to talk about why we prefer to use prayer over meditation in our relationship and the benefits of that and the difference in that. So let's kick it off.
Yeah. So I feel like one of, some background or some context to this conversation is, I don't know if you've seen this online, but I've seen this online where some Christians talk about meditation being like demonic and, you know, inviting in spirits and all of that. And while, you know, I think we should be spiritually vigilant, I think that we can go to the extreme and really almost live in a place of fear and not really seeing in what other ways that we can actually like welcome God into our hearts. So the way that I look at meditation compared to prayer is meditation is where I'm sitting in silence and silencing my thoughts so that I may hear God's voice, whereas prayer is we're speaking to God. So,
And there's a time and place for both.
There's a time and place for both. Absolutely. I think there's something so powerful of quieting the mind and just sitting in silence. And so meditation is not necessarily about speaking to spirits. It is about silencing the mind. And just from like an overall well-being perspective, I think that that's really useful. It's a very useful tool. But when we looked at it from like a relationship perspective, we saw it as, you know, meditation, because we've done that before. We've laid in bed and sometimes like on our date nights, we're like, okay, let's put on a Joe Dispenza, right? So meditation, even though we're doing it together, is still an individual experience. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I go into my state and he goes into his state, and then kind of we're communicating with God. We are getting inspiration. We're tapping into the visions that we want to create in our life. So even though we're doing it together, it's very separate. Whereas to me, when we pray together, even as a family, because we pray over our meals, it's a joint experience. And I think one of the things that I like about it is that it also allows us to be vulnerable with each other, because when we pray with each other and for each other, the words are out loud and we're holding hands and we're praying for the things that we want. We're praying for the healings that we want. And that's not really what happens in meditation. So that from like a tactical perspective, that's why I prefer meditation as a couple.
And even, you know,
did I just say meditation? Because I meant to say prayer if I said the wrong thing.
I missed that because I was about to say.
Sorry.
But yeah, I've noticed as well, we've had some nights where we've had some deep meditation, but you don't really notice or know what the other person's experience, and it's not as powerful. Whereas when let's say for example, on a Sunday when we're at church and we're singing along as a family and we're holding our kids and we're looking at each other and we're both just tearing up, we're feeling God's presence, we're just overwhelmed with joy and gratitude. And you know, I've only recently come back to God in the last couple of years, and you never had that kind of gratitude and that kind of just content and happiness with just doing meditation. So there was a clear distinction between us meditating together and actually praying together and feeling God's presence in our life. There's a big difference.
Yeah, that's interesting. And for me, I've definitely felt, you know, elevated states from meditation, especially specific meditations. So I really like Joe Dispenza's meditations. And I did his workshop when he was in Perth, and that was incredible. But again, if Dan was there with me, I think it would have been like a cool experience. But again, we're having our own experiences with the divine, with God when you're in meditation. Whereas when we're holding hands, I don't know, there's just something unique about that experience. And exactly what you said, like when we're in church and we look over at each other and we're both like holding back tears, We've definitely never had that in meditation, and we've done some like pretty cool meditations. That's just our perspective on it. Of course, do what feels right for you. I know that some people swear by their meditation, and I think meditation for everyone is really useful. But then if you add prayer in with that, and that's really coming together, I think that can really take your relationship and really your life to the next level. And this topic was kind of inspired by a reel that I shared that is kind of going a little bit viral for my account anyway. And it was the stat, and I got this from Family Studies org. This is 2016. So 50% of couples end in divorce. We know that. That's a pretty common stat. However, 26% of couples that go to church end in divorce, and then 0.006% of couples that pray together end in divorce.
And this is, let's just stop there for a second and repeat that, because some people might skip over that. And I think that is a huge differential. 50% of the average couples end in divorce. If you pray together, 0.006%. Like the difference in that is just phenomenal. So I think it's really important to go back to that and make sure we're understanding just how powerful that is.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I made the disclaimer in the post that, you know, there's certain things. Okay, so I always look at stats and research with more curiosity than anything else. For me, it pops up more questions. I have a research background. So I know there's other factors at play here that could be leading to the statistics. So for example, with the 26% of couples that go to church, well, if they're going to church, maybe one of the reasons they're still together, even if they're not happy, is because they don't want to get judged or the perceived judgment that they may get from churchgoers, you know, like depending on their views on divorce, et cetera. So there's other layers to this, but I think what really stands out about that's like very low percentage of couples that end in divorce who pray together is kind of what we were speaking about in the offset, was that, you know, it's something you're genuinely doing together. It's not like we're doing life. Like a lot of couples are just roommates. A lot of couples are just surviving. And when you come together, it is something that you're doing together. It's a bonding experience. So I think that can explain at least some of that statistic there. But I thought we could also share like what prayer does for us. Obviously, we can't speak for any other couples. We don't believe that we have all of the answers. We can only share our lived experience and hope that it serves you in some way. So one of the reasons that we think that prayer has been so helpful for us as a couple is that it anchors into an appreciation of each other. So whether we're praying over our food or whether we're praying and whatever it is, I always start prayer with thank you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful meal. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the ways that you blessed me, for my beautiful family. And automatically, like second or third in there, it's going to be my relationship with Dan. And so when we do that, when we pray together, we're really anchoring in. It's obviously, we're acknowledging how God has blessed us with each other. And it just helps us to appreciate each other even more. Just anchor into that, because, you know, the day goes past and you might not really feel a deep sense of appreciation for your life. But when you sit down and pray together and you're forced to think about the things that you are grateful for, it really helps us to cement that even more.
Yeah. And just on that, you know, just a little bit off topic, but it's also, I remember us talking about another statistic about families that sit down at the dinner table together, just in general, also have, I can't remember what the results were on those stats, but it was a benefit. It was a positive benefit to sitting down and having dinner as a family. So when you stack having prayer as a family and as a couple on top of sitting down, having dinner as a family, I think it's just a really healthy dynamic for the family with a lot of positive benefits. So, you know, let's play the 1% of games. Every 1% that you can do that's going to help you move forward in a positive direction, it's going to help your relationship, it's going to help your family with it, and it's going to help your kids. We just want to do it all. We want to do all the things that are going to help. So I just wanted to throw that in there as well.
Oh, something just came through for me when we were talking about like appreciation, when we were talking about the family dynamic. So when you teach your kids gratitude, you're like, okay, what are you grateful for? And you get them to go through the motion of like, oh, I'm grateful for this. And I'm grateful that we do that anyway with our kids. But when your children watch you pray, it's not you telling them, oh, be appreciative. They're watching. They're witnessing you be appreciative. My kids hear me pray every single day because I'm holding their hand and I'm praying with them. And I'm anchoring them into appreciation. So I'm not telling them to be grateful. I'm showing them what it feels like to be grateful. Okay. So number two is it anchors us into a shared vision. So this one's so important, like as a couple, because we're both like goal oriented and we have big visions for ourselves, but when we pray together, we're basically sharing our goals, and having like a long-term goal obviously necessitates us being together long-term, which then puts our relationship at the forefront of our goal setting. And so it's like inviting in the person into our vision. So if like I have a vision of doing something for my business and we're praying about it, then now he's invested in that too. And then if we have like a shared vision for like what we want for our family, well, then it's like our combined energy towards that. So it just makes, again, it's like that like bonding, that like we're a united front. We're doing this together rather than two individual people living in their silos, pursuing their own dreams and being like, yeah, I got your back. But what are we actually doing to support each other in that?
And that ties back to some other topics we've spoken about with goal setting and having joint goals as a couple, and, you know, tying it in with prayer and sharing your vision together through prayer just adds to that and makes it that little bit more powerful.
Yeah, exactly. And number three is it anchors us into a spiritual practice together. So again, like you could meditate together, you can do other things together, but it's just something so unique when we're saying it aloud. And also, okay, this is important. When we are praying, where it's to us two humans, and then we are speaking to God. Now, you might call it something else. Maybe you call it the divine. Maybe you call it infinite intelligence, but we're acknowledging there's another force there. So it's us two and then the divine. And I think that that's really powerful. Again, it's the three. It's a triad of us coming together and creating something together. Whereas if I'm like meditating on my own, like, yes, it's me and the divine, Dan and the divine. But when we come together, it is something so unique. And it's just something that like anchors us into a spiritual practice where we feel very like grounded and we feel very empowered by doing that together. So
100%.
It's unique. It's
a beautiful experience because for me, I sort of lost my way for a while in my early 20s and walked away from God. And although I turned my back on him for a while, he never turned his back on me. And with the personal development and the law of attraction space, it's very big on all this personal empowerment. You create your life, you create your future. And although that is a big aspect of that, and we have those tools to use our mind for that benefit, being able to add in that, like, when God is on your side and you think about what God has created, the entire universe, he created the sun, the earth, every single tree, every single animal, everything in it. And then you can go, well, hey, with God's help, I can create everything. It's so much more empowering than just trying to do it all on your own through just thinking positive thoughts and trying to, you know, just do it alone. And I think that's been such a beautiful practice for us. And just, you know, the saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And just repeating that, I drive along and I just think it and I say it out loud and I give thanks to God for that. And
if you're not religious, I don't want you to just tap out with what Dan just said, because here's the thing, like that is what's true for us. And I would love for that to be true for you too. But I understand that if it's not, you know,
before I come back to God, I would have not agreed completely with that. I was like, I'm creating my own reality. Take that with a grain of salt, because that's where we're at now. That's how I feel now.
And just put your like we can make it make sense for you still. So when Dan is saying it's like you're not doing it on your own, well, when you meditate, it's kind of the same thing. You're inviting the divine. So it's still not you and your own. You're tapping into your infinite potential, into the divine, into the universe, and you are co-creating this reality. Well, it's the same thing, except we call that infinite intelligence God. Mm-hmm. And we are inviting God into our lives, and we are anchoring that power. We're using that power to support our goals. And so if that doesn't resonate for you, that's fine. When I say prayer, look, I would love it for you as a Christian. I would love it for you to also like be in union with God. But if that feels far for you right now, what I would pray for you is to start, if you have a partner, is to, you can pray out loud together. You don't have to say like, I say, dear Heavenly Father, right? Cause he's my Heavenly Father. But by you holding your husband or your wife's hand and saying like, you know, we pray for this, we pray for that, it's still you guys coming together. It's still different than the separate meditations. Mm. Right. And then, you know, my prayer would be that you have this relationship with God, but our intention really was to show you that there's other ways to achieve together as a couple. There's other avenues for you to come together as a couple and to feel more supported by God, the universe, and to feel supported and like a union between the two of you. And that's why for us, prayer makes sense. We still do meditate, and we advocate meditating. And I personally don't subscribe to the notion that it's inviting like negative entities and all of that. The spiritual plane, without going into a completely different topic, is you have discernment and you're allowed to have boundaries. And even evil forces are not, if you're Christian especially, then you know that other evil forces cannot stand the name of God. So if you say, I am only welcoming God's voice, I'm creating this silence right now so that I may welcome in God's wisdom, speak to me, Father, you're done. Like, there's no way that any other entities, any other force can come in and talk to you, because you have that sovereignty, and spirits that live in like the 4D have no power. They have no dominion over God, right? And so, yeah, I won't get into that, but
another topic,
and it's a cool topic, I must say. But it's been a cool journey for us, because, you know, like I said, well, actually, I don't know if I said on this podcast, but I was raised Christian. I went to a Christian private school and Catholic school, and my godmother was a pastor. You know, all my cousins went to Bible college. Like, that was my best friend's mom was very religious. Like, we were all just very religious. And I went down a different path because I am like I really value freedom. And I didn't know if I believed what I believed because I innately believed it, or because I had been programmed to believe something. And so I wanted to experience spirituality in different ways. And I wanted to really connect with God in different ways. And so I tried a lot of different things, and I was an adventurer, as were you. And it's interesting how the exploration that we went through, and when I say I explored, I went down plant medicines. I've done a lot of things. I've seen spirits. I've all the types of things. And it led me back to God, which is pretty interesting and cool in and of itself. So now I'm in a place where I'm like, yes, I have experienced the world. I kind of feel like the prodigal son. I've experienced the world, and I've come back to God. And now I can speak about these spiritual things with some knowing and not with judgment. Cause a lot of Christians are like, that's evil. And it's like, do you honestly believe that though? Or are you just living in fear and you cast judgment on things you do not understand, which is something entirely different. I've experienced these things. I've experienced different medicines. I've experienced different healing modalities. Some of them I think are not of the light, which I'm, you know, coming to terms with and kind of figuring out how I want to teach specific things in my trainings. I'm navigating that. So it's been an interesting journey, but I feel like you're going to say something.
Oh no, I was just going to say before when you're talking about coming back to God on making that distinction for yourself. And I still remember a couple of years ago when I was just having these thoughts, and I was being called, and I was just, for the first time in over a decade, I started like praying and calling in God. I just started praying to God in my room. We were facing so many challenges, so much uncertainty in the world. And I was just, when I was at, you know, when you're at that low point, you for some reason, nearly everyone, whether you're an atheist or you're a true believer, when you're in a dark place, you always have this knowing and this intuitive voice to just go and call out for God. And I did. And then it was one day I brought it up to you. I was like, you know, I've just been feeling a bit of a call, like, to God recently. And you were like, oh, wow, I'm so glad you said that, because, you know, you were feeling the same way and we didn't know. And I think you might have been even intimidated, unsure of how I would react or if I'd be interested and want to come along. So then we made that decision. We wanted to go back to church. And when I went in, it was just like that overwhelming. I just wanted to bawl my eyes out.
I
am home.
Yeah. And that's how I felt when I went to church as well. It's like, I feel at home.
So overwhelming.
It was so crazy because, like, Dan, you're very spiritually like curious. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things that you have spoken about that didn't resonate for me. So I didn't see you coming back to the church. And I thought maybe this was a journey that I was going to take on my own. So I had, you know, reconnected with God and was going down my own journey. And so when you said that, I was like, whoa, it was like it's all happening at the same time. And like, what are the odds of that? Like, what are the odds of that from where we came from in the spiritual realms, let's say, in the different modalities, for us to both be coming back to God in the way that we did was pretty crazy.
It was.
Anyway,
anything else you wanted to talk about on that topic?
Not really. I just think, you know, take what you can from it, leave what doesn't resonate, and, you know, maybe just sit for a moment and ask, you know, what is the truth here? Is this the truth for me? What is relevant for me? And you know, you can say a little prayer and see how that feels. If prayer isn't part of your practice, see how that feels. And just try it on.
And one of the, I guess, a little bit of advice coming from someone, like I said, that had walked away from God and prayer feeling a bit funny for me initially, it was just like, God, if you are there, I welcome you back into my life. And just play on that for a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And if that's just the prayer initially, and just wait and see what happens when you start calling that in. And so I'm not saying you have to go to church and you have to be a full-blown Christian or anything, because like, God is God and the creator and infinite intelligence, whatever you want to call it. But if you start welcoming that in to your life and things do start to change, you start to feel a shift. And so
That's interesting. Like with what you said about like, you don't have to go to church. Some of the most like devout, godliest people I know don't go to church. In fact, you don't have to go to church. And there's plenty of people that go to church that are not of God and who do not act like Jesus would. Absolutely. And there's a lot of churches right now that are just horrific. So
a lot of corruption in this.
Lot of corruption. So I get it. If you don't want to ever step foot in a church, gotcha. The church that we go to just so happens to feel like home for us.
Feels honest.
We have tried different places that did not resonate for us. So you don't have to go to church to have a relationship with God. It just, for us in that particular church, we can feel God's presence and it feels good for us. But you can have a relationship with God without going to church. You can have a relationship with God without it looking like how everybody else's relationship looks like. It is unique to you. And so I guess that's what we'll leave you with, is just like to welcome God, welcome the divine into your life. And just to, that's it. Don't like to give me a sign, show me this. Like, we are not demanding of God. We are just welcoming God and just watch watch the shifts start to begin.
Amazing. Thanks for tuning in, guys. We will see you on the next one. Hope you enjoyed today's show.